May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 634. When saints together meet, God's goodness to declare, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Of Christ they speak, of Christ they boast. While Jesus lives, they can't be lost. Hymn 634.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Also, thou son of man, prophesy upon the mountains of Israel and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes and to the cities that are forsaken, which came a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart and with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I've spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be builded, and I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men and hast bereaved thy nations. Therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more, neither shall thou bear the reproach of the people any more. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me, as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen. And they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the ways shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate, he's become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities have become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you should know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem, in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, grant us each prayer. O Lord God Almighty, teach us to pray. Give us that faith which is vital if we are to pray. O Lord, it is thy gift. Thou said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. O Lord, we are sin-sick sinners, if we are rightly taught of thee. Lord, we pray, grant that right teaching this evening. O come down in the power of thy Spirit, bless the word to our souls. Speak to us through it. Show thyself through the lattice of thy word. Blessed Spirit of truth, reveal the Lamb to guilty sinners. Lord, those who know not themselves, show them themselves. Those who know a little of themselves, enough, Lord, to make them despair of self, show them thyself. Oh, we pray, Lord, do condescend to come down and hallow this hour with thy gracious presence and the gracious influence of thy Holy Spirit to lift us above the earth and its things, to deliver us from the carnal mind, which is enmity with God, cannot be subject to the law of God. O Lord, come and dwell in us. We may not be carnally minded, but spiritually minded. Lord, free thy captives from all the captivity of their carnality and their unbelief and the assaults of the adversary and the sins that do so easily beset us, and every distracting care and thought. Oh Lord, we pray, make this place to us a little sanctuary. According to thy promise, I will be a little sanctuary to them in those places where they are. Grant us a thankful heart for thy mercies. Lord, thy countless mercies since we last met together here in this way. Lord, thou hast not dealt with us after our sins. And Lord, this is thy greatest mercy. No mercy like it that does not deal with a sinner after his sins. And where thou hast granted in any measure that faith by which thy people have received that pardon, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Oh, we bless thee for it. Lord, help these people, Lord. We're all dying sinners. We pray for him who is the life, who said, I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Come to this people, come to this poor sinner, and give us life. And those of us to whom we hope thou hast given life, oh, give it more abundantly. For it is of thee we little know, and I'll still less enjoy. We are so unlike thee, Lord Jesus, because we know thee so little. We are so sinful. Lord, we do pray, grant us that life that conquers sin, the life of the Son of God. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Oh, give thy dear Son to us tonight, through this appointed means here, the preaching of thy word. Oh, may the Spirit, the Spirit's blessed communion be granted, so that Christ may be revealed. May the Spirit take of the things of Jesus and show them to us, such that we shall believe in him, on him, we shall love him. Lord, we shall have our hope given or increased in him. Lord, we shall know liberty in him, the Son to make us free. Lord, we shall lose sight of everything else. Lord, we shall have all our sickness healed. We shall have all our sins pardoned. We shall be justified from all our unrighteousness, all the things we cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Our pride will be conquered, humility given, rebellion, covetousness, murmuring, all slain. Oh, we pray to know thee like this, the real Christ, the real Saviour. Lord, give us that faith in him by which he is known. That faith which giveth the victory. The faith of God's elect. Thine own gift. Lord, help unbelievers tonight. Help their unbelief. Lord, help hard-hearted wretches. Help idolaters. Lord, help dead sinners tonight. Lord, help ignoramuses, blockheads. Lord, help fools. Lord, fools who because of their iniquities and their transgressions are afflicted, whose soul abhorreth all manner of meat, who draw near unto the gates of death, who come to their wits' end, help them, Lord. Help them to cry unto thee, and help them by delivering them in answer to their cries. Bless this people. We thank thee for what thou hast done for them, done among them. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst keep them. Grant them more and more of the unity of the Spirit. Bless them with a living ministry. If it is thy holy will, an under-shepherd, a pastor after thine own heart, who shall feed them with knowledge and understanding. Help the deacons. Lord, bless their labours. Help them and each to pray on. Lord, grant us each the tender fear we need, especially those of us that are in these solemn offices in thy church, each that has made a solemn profession of thy name. Lord, help us to examine ourselves. And Lord, when we do, by thy enabling, we find how far short we come. Lord, we pray for grace to truly mourn over our sins, confess them to thee, and turn from them to thee. We pray, Lord, for gracious revival. Lord, in our own souls do grant the revival. Lord, thou hast done it before. Oft turned aside the fatal hour, or lifted up our fainting head. And to thy church, Lord, thou hast done it before many times. Lord, we pray, do it again. Oh, come down, blessed Spirit of truth. Awaken sinners. Kindle the flames of never-dying love in sinners' hearts. Make sinners weep from their hearts for their sins and for Christ. Make sinners cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" Help thy servants to preach in such a way as thou would answer that question. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's thy work, Lord. Oh, come down, Holy Spirit, and grant, Lord, to thine elect the blessing of that faith in the Son of God and that love to him, his love to them, and their love to him which is thine to them. Lord, grant holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Oh, some of us feel to know so little of sanctification. Lord, we pray for it. Cleanse us, we beseech thee. Separate us. Take away the love of sinning. Turn away our eyes from beholding vanity. Cleanse our minds from vain thoughts. Thy servant Job made a covenant with his eyes. He would not look upon a maid. Oh, but he asked that question, "Why then should I think upon a maid?" Oh, we pray, cleanse us. We plead for help, the help of thy grace. In these solemn days in which we live, Lord, oh, the images that are set before us. Lord, they walk down the street when we come down the street ourselves. All around us, Lord. Oh, forgive, we beseech thee. And Lord, cleanse us from all these things. And Lord, those vain noises, those wretched voices, Satan and his agents. Lord, give us a deaf ear to those voices, those noises. Oh, give us a very keen ear to thy voice, to the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees. Oh, to the whisper of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, do not let us ignore the blessed whisper of the Spirit. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst make us very sensitive, very God-fearing, very fearful of offending thee, grieving thee. For, Lord, when we lose thy felt presence and the blessed sight of thy face, oh, how often it is a long time before we find thee again. And Lord, what has caused it? Thou hast said, thine ear is not heavy, thine arm is not shortened. But your sins, thou hast said, have separated between you and your God, and have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Do maintain this people individually and collectively. Do help them, go before them. We pray for each in their various needs. Look upon thy afflicted people, heal them if it could please thee. Strengthen them. Those that are away, Lord, grant thy blessing upon them, safekeeping and, Lord, benefit. Above all, to their soul, this season away. Lord, we pray for help in the families. Bless the children, the young people. Grant them thy grace. Keep them safe. Preserve them from evil. Lord, we pray for thy help and thy blessing. The couple, Lord, that expect their first child subject to thy holy will. Oh, we do pray for help. Lord, grant them in their innermost soul that quietness. Enable them, Lord, to trust in Thee. For Lord, Thou hast not failed those that trust in Thee. Thou canst not. Have they not proved it, Lord? O Lord, we pray, help them, grant safe deliverance at the appointed time, a healthy child, if it could please Thee. We thank Thee for Thy goodness in this way, and all Thy merciful answers to the petitions of Thy people to this moment. Lord, what a sin it is to be backward to pray after having so many gracious answers. Lord, such a sin we have to confess is ours. Forgive us and help us to pray. Have mercy on Britain. We plead again, pity, Lord. Have pity on this guilty land. Destroy us not. Restrain the wickedness. Overrule in government and in every high place. Overrule those in authority. Preserve to us our liberties. And that there may be that liberty continued to preach Thy word and meet together and live and speak and act in the fear of the Lord without fear of being guilty of a crime against the laws of this land. Could it please Thee, Lord, to accomplish that which we open to us has begun, deliver this land that it may once more be a truly sovereign nation and not governed from outside these shores. Pardon now all we ask amiss. Make up where we so fail to ask. As we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 904. O Lord, with shame I do confess my universal emptiness, my poverty and pride. I cannot keep Thee in my sight, nor can I think one thought aright, unless Thy Spirit guide. Hymn 904.
Thank you.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, Ezekiel chapter 36. Reading verses 25 to 27. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 27. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. What exceeding great and precious promises these are. What a favoured people are they unto whom these promises speak. Who are those people? How shall we know that we are among them? And by the fulfilment of them, even to begin with, in the Lord causing us to believe what he says he will do. Because you noticed at the end of the chapter, the Lord says, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. If you find it in your heart to pray for these things, you have an interest in them. Because the Lord has said, everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. Now, the Lord tells us why he will do these things. He will do it for his great name's sake. He will not do it because his people deserve it. He will not do it because of something they do. He says, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my great name's sake. In verse 21 he says, I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. That's the gospel, my dear friend. That's the gospel. The pure, blessed gospel of Jesus Christ, the Father and the Spirit. God being merciful to whom he will be merciful. God being gracious to whom he will be gracious. If it wasn't like that, my dear friend, none could be saved. If God would only do these things for those who had even the tiniest portion of merit, he could do it for none. For none have any merit. All have fallen and are fallen. All have corrupted their way. All have turned to their own way, says Isaiah in chapter 53. And the Lord says, and Isaiah says of the Lord, and he hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Then the Lord set time. A time he has fixed. Then. What is this clean water that he says he will sprinkle upon these people? Surely it is the blessed Holy Spirit of truth bringing down the blessings of God, that are treasured up in his dear Son. I will sprinkle, pouring out of the Holy Spirit from on high, sprinkling. That word sprinkling is often or in numerous places mentioned in the Word of God, isn't it? How often it is mentioned in the service of the tabernacle. The sprinkling of blood, the sprinkling of the water. On the mercy seat, on the leper, and so on every instrument of the tabernacle. And then there's that well-known word in the Epistle to the Hebrews concerning the place where the believer is brought by the Spirit to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I will sprinkle clean water. Those precious drops of clean water. The Holy Spirit sent down from on high. Jesus, he spoke the words of his Father's promise, didn't he? That when he was taken from his people, that is, with regard to his crucifixion and then his ascension into heaven, he would send another comforter, the Holy Ghost. He says, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He shall bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I've said unto you, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. You know, all true Christianity is the work of the Holy Ghost. The beginning of the work is the work of the Holy Ghost. The continuing of the work, the finishing of the work, it is the work of the Holy Ghost. We're speaking now of the actual work upon a sinner. We're not speaking of redemption, that's not the work of the Holy Ghost. We're speaking of sanctification, that's the work of the Holy Ghost. And sanctification begins when the sinner is born again of the Spirit. It is carried on as he is convinced of sin. It is carried on as he is taught to pray. It is carried on as faith is inspired in the Son of God. It is carried on as the blood is applied. The love is shed abroad. It is carried on as the blessed Spirit bears witness with the children of God that they are indeed the children of God. So this is what the Lord is promising here. He's promising the Holy Ghost, clean water. Oh, the purity of the work of the Spirit. There is nothing of the flesh in it. You know, when the Holy Ghost is withheld, and the Word of God makes it clear that there are those times in the Church of God and in the history of individuals when the Holy Ghost is withdrawn. Not finally, but his influence is withheld. You see, there is nothing can be put effectually in the place of the Holy Spirit. There is no other clean water. Oh, so many churches, realizing that there are not those conversions of the Holy Spirit, realizing that the life of God languishes in the congregations and in the church, have sought to do this thing and that thing and the other thing, in an attempt to remedy this situation. And in the history of the church, there have been those spurious revivals, haven't there? A revival has been proclaimed. But those who truly feared God were given the grace to examine those revivals and judge them according to what the Holy Scriptures speak of as a Holy Ghost revival. And so often, alas, it was proven that it wasn't a Holy Ghost revival. It was a fleshly revival. It wasn't clean water sprinkled by God from heaven. It was the sister waters that the Lord says his people have left him for. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and has hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. But oh, the promise of God. This is what the Church of God has to plead in a time when a person individually feels so dry. Not to try and pump the old well of nature, but to plead with the Almighty that he will do what he has said and sprinkle clean water upon me. Surely this is what Paul was speaking of when he said, my preaching and my teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. That's the revival of the flesh. Persuading sinners with a natural argument. Frightening sinners perhaps. Saying awful things to sinners in a way to try to get them to come to some decision themselves. Well, if you come to a decision yourself, my dear friend, it won't be the right one, I can guarantee that. No man of himself really chose to follow Christ. No man of himself really brought himself to the feet of the Saviour as a broken-hearted sinner. No man of himself truly believed on the Son of God. The promise then, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. The purity of this water, it is all of God's love and grace. There's no human merit in it. There's no human work in it. It's clean. Oh, it is the work of God himself. The blessed Holy Spirit can do nothing but that which is holy. Clean water. And oh, my dear friend, what does the Holy Spirit do? He testifies of Christ. That's the clean water. The Holy Spirit does not come down and tell sinners that there is some good in them. That if they try hard enough, they can overcome their sins. If they try hard enough, they can subdue their own lusts. If they try hard enough, they can repent. No, this clean water is the Holy Spirit bringing down the gospel. The pure, blessed gospel of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Clean water. I'll sprinkle it upon you. Upon you. The Lord knows where every one of his people are. And he causes the water to fall upon them. Not upon everyone. He's speaking here to Israel. Blessings to Israel. And of course, that means the whole Israel of God. Oh, what a mercy when a drop falls on you, child of God, and on me. And through that drop falling on us, What is set forth? Election is set forth. God's choice is set forth. Oh, be merciful to whom I will be merciful. That's being merciful, isn't it? Letting a drop of this clean water drop upon us. So undeserving. I obtain mercy, said Paul. I obtain mercy. And ye shall be clean. And ye shall be clean. That's how it will be known. That's how the clean water's application is manifest. The effect. The effect of the sprinkling of clean water is cleansing. Must be. Because that is what God's purpose is. He sees you, child of God, in all your filth. Earlier in this same prophecy, the Lord speaks to his child like this. He tells them of how he first met them. And what were they? They were like a child, a babe, polluted in their own blood. Not salted at all, nor swallowed at all. Filthy. Oh, the ungodliness. The vileness, the corruption, the blood guiltiness, all the wickedness of man's nature, your nature, my nature. God says, I'll sprinkle clean water upon you. Oh, my dear friend, the kindness, the loving kindness of God. He's like a nurse, isn't he? He said, thy time was a time of love. I spread my skirt over thee. I took thee as my wife. I said unto thee, live. Thou becamest mine. And thou shalt be clean. The cleansing of God. Did this person know they were filthy? No. They had no idea they were filthy. No idea. That's the first part of the cleansing, my dear friend, is to make you know your filth. Oh, that filthy man David. I don't say that because I can throw stones at him. Heart sins, they are as damning as outward sins are. And if that is the case, my dear friend, how can you and I throw stones at a man like David? We cannot. He didn't know. Or he certainly wasn't sorrowing over it. How did he know? God poured clean water upon him. He came by his servant Nathan, the parable, and the proof that David didn't know was that when his case was perfectly set forth by the parable, the little ewe lamb, David said, the man that had done this shall surely die. Oh, he knew the law of God. He knew it very well, but he couldn't see his own sin. He couldn't feel his own filth. But God sprinkled clean water upon him. Nathan said, thou art the man. Now if Nathan had just said that, without the Lord sprinkling clean water, David would still have turned round to Nathan and said, no, Nathan, you're wrong. But because God sprinkled clean water upon him, what did David say? I have sinned against the Lord. The cleansing is begun, and ye shall be clean. He is cleansed from his self-righteousness by the clean water sprinkled upon him, by the conviction of the Holy Ghost, by the gospel power, by the precious power of the Lord Jesus Christ, put forth by the Spirit, so that grace is given to David to realize and to grieve over and mourn over, as is set forth in Psalm 51, is sin. I have sinned against the Lord. And immediately, God tells Nathan to tell him the wonderful tidings. I have put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. I have put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. God has put it away. Who else could? The sin is against God, and David was brought to realize it. The thief was brought to realize it. And if clean water is sprinkled upon you, you will be brought to realize it. I've sinned against Almighty God. I've sinned against his word, his law. I've sinned against him. I've showed my hatred of God. I've showed my enmity against God. I've showed my total disregard. You think of David. The look at that woman, and then the calling for her, the lying with her, and then the organizing of the murder of her husband after he had failed in that plot to get it to appear as though the child that was conceived was Uriah's child. Oh, my dear friend, what brazen wickedness. What sin against light and knowledge. David knew better, and so do you and I, my dear friend. Ye shall be clean. Who can forgive those sins? Only the one who is sinned against can forgive. But how can he forgive? How can he forgive? Is there anything in creation which God can use with regard to this matter of forgiving sins? Is there any mere man on this earth who God can use with regard to this forgiveness of sins? No, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. What does the church pray in the prophecy of Isaiah? Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. That the mountains of sin might flow down at thy presence. In this sprinkling of clean water is set forth the sending of the Son of God from heaven. The Holy Spirit, what a vital part he played in that. 'Twas he who formed for the eternal Son of God that sacred, holy humanity. That didn't come from heaven. Don't mistake my meaning. No, but the person came from heaven. The eternal person of the Son of God came from heaven, and came from heaven in the only way he could come, whereby he could redeem his people, whereby they could be clean. He took a clean, holy, pure humanity into union with himself by the blessed, mysterious, unique operation of the Holy Ghost. I'll sprinkle clean water. No man hath ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man that is in heaven. O sinner here this evening, when God sprinkles his clean water upon you, and you are brought to acknowledge to him like David did, I have sinned against the Lord. You will be given to see and to realize there's no remedy on this earth for this sin. There's no remedy in myself. There's no remedy in the whole of the fallen human race. God sets forth the remedy. Sin's within thee, all about thee, but the remedy is without thee, says Joseph. Ah, see it in the Saviour's precious blood, and ye shall be clean. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Go back to that illustration the Lord gives. The babe cast out into the open field, not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. Can a babe cleanse itself? No. Oh, Paul speaks of his ministry, doesn't he? He speaks of being as a nurse among the people. A nurse. Why? Paul was by the Holy Spirit of God. He was Christ-like. And every true sent servant of Christ is Christ-like in a measure. Oh, that I were more so. Oh, that the Lord would make me more of a nurse through the preaching of the gospel under the power of the Holy Spirit. And what is it? Paul preached Christ crucified. That's how he was a nurse to his hearers, to those congregations he preached to, those people he moved amongst. Oh, the Holy Spirit upon him. Oh, as he preached Christ to these guilty sinners. And the Holy Spirit, through that preaching of the word, he cleansed away the sins of those people. As Paul preached the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, firstly, the Son of God, he knows all the sins of his people. He says, from all your filthiness, you don't know all your filthiness, child of God. You only know as much as God shows you. I have often said to you, you could not bear the sight of it all. And those of you that have been convinced through this sprinkling of this clean water upon you, you have realized your filthiness is an unfathomable matter. When the thought of foolishness is sin. And my dear friend, what did the Lord Jesus say when he was asked to summarize the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and with all thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself. From all your filthiness. He sees all that filthiness, every single part of it, in relation to the person whose sacrifice God appointed and whose sacrifice once for sin put away sin forever. The Saviour being God. A man in one person. He could not only know the whole of the filthiness of his people, but he could bear the whole of that filthiness. It could be all imputed to him. a person, blessed person, the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely. God hath found one. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from among the people. The man there is a real man. This wondrous man of whom we tell is true Almighty God. He bought our souls from death and hell. The price, his own heart's blood. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. From all your filthiness. My dear friend, if the Lord Jesus was not God, how could he bear the whole of that load? He could not. If he were not man, he could not. But because he is the blessed God-man, from all your filthiness, those sins, every single part of the filthiness of the whole election of grace, Christ had that all imputed to him. No wonder he shrank from it in Gethsemane. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. From all your filthiness, from all your filthiness, when he was arrayed in that scarlet robe, crimson is called in one of the gospel accounts, the same colour, the same thing is set forth. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What did that robe mean? It meant all the sins of Israel of God were laid on him. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know what they were doing, nailing him to the cross. They didn't know what they were doing, punching him in the face, scourging his back, so it's like the furrows of a ploughed field. They didn't know what they were doing when they were spitting in his face. Oh, they didn't know what they were saying when they said to him, away with him, away with him. But this is the way, the only way, God can cleanse you, my dear friend, from all your filthiness. Because Christ is who he is, the eternal, glorious Son of God without beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Because he is who he is, my dear friend, and because he has done what he has done, no other could do it. And because his Father has done it to him, his Father has done it to him. Oh, a sacrifice is provided by the Father. Abraham said to Isaac, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. From all your filthiness, when all that filthiness is imputed to Christ, and Christ suffers that sentence due to every single part of that filthiness, the law is fulfilled. What is it that makes the sin known? Firstly, the law makes the sin known. Secondly, the crucifixion of Christ makes the sin known. It's fulfilled. Christ, the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, from all your filthiness, all of it. This is the gospel, all of it. Every single spot, deep-rooted. What did David pray in Psalm 51? Wash me thoroughly, he said. The filthiness of my heart, that's where it all begins. The filthiness of my mind. My dear friend, if God sprinkle clean water upon you and bring his word into your heart and show you Christ, that perfect man, that one who magnified the law in his life and in his death, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Oh, what a filthy mind you'll see you have. What filthy eyes you'll see you have. My dear friend, the day in which we live is so solemn. Because images are set before us today, all around us. In the way people dress. No, it's our sin. It's our sin. But the devil, you see, it is he who is influencing people. And those pictures that are published and those images that are broadcast. The filthiness of the eye and the things that are said. I thought earlier this week, oh, my dear friend, we cannot shut ourselves away, can we, from the world in which we live. Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. It is shame even to speak of those things that are done of them in secret. The filthy heart, the filthy mind. Oh, my dear friend, does it plague you? Plagued Job, didn't it? Plagued the hymn writer. Thoughts obscene, blasphemous, unclean. The filthiness of the lust, the filthiness of the covetousness. Godliness with contentment. My dear friend, that's the only cure for covetousness. Godliness with contentment. Don't think that you can cure yourself of covetousness. You cannot. It is in your very nature. You want more. And the only thing that can save you from that covetousness, and Paul said, didn't he, I had not known lust, except the Lord said, thou shalt not covet. Can you say you never covet? If you can, you're deceived. You're making God a liar. As John says in his epistle, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. All the hatred, the malice, the enmity, the pride. What a filthy thing is pride. In the eyes of the Almighty, in the nostrils of the Almighty, to use a figurative expression from the Word of God, pride stings. Dear Charles James, that godly Gloucestershire minister, somebody said to him one day, Mr. James, you don't seem troubled with pride. He said, I stinks on it. Filthiness. From all your filthiness. What a word. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Now the point, my dear friend, is this, and I must come to it. This is the chief point this evening. This clean water sprinkled from heaven. It's the Holy Ghost taking the word that testifies of Christ and writing it in a sinner's heart so that they are given faith in the blessed Son of God. That is how they're cleansed. That faith is given in measure. The leper, he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. Have you ever had a faith like that? The faith of God's elect? So that you have really ventured to Christ as a filthy leper. Nothing in your hand, but in your heart something. Oh, the Lord takes notice of what is in a person's heart. And he puts his word, the truth concerning Christ, in a person's heart. And that word that he puts in a person's heart concerning Christ is a cleansing word. No longer do you find that one, like the woman with the issue of blood, you don't find her going round more physicians. You don't find her asking people, can you lend me some money and I can go and find another physician? I've run out of money, but I'm sure I'll find one if you can only give me the money to go and pay for it. No, she heard of Jesus. And that hearing of Jesus immediately cleansed her. It cleansed her of her unbelief to a degree, to a sufficient degree. She had sufficient faith given her in hearing of Jesus to believe that if she could but touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. From all your filthiness will I cleanse you. Yes, because the blood that my Son shed cleanseth from all sin. And because the holy, the blessed, pure, clear, holy water I sprinkle upon you, the Holy Spirit's application, it is effectual. When the blood of Christ is applied, it cleanseth. When the name of Christ is really written by the Spirit on a sinner's heart, it has a cleansing effect. I will be thou clean from all your filthiness. You see, that one comes in all their filthiness. The clean water has this effect. They are brought to put their whole trust in the Lord. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. From all your filthiness, I will be thou clean. As the Lord increases that faith, I thought of that word in John 15 just before I stood up. Jesus said to his disciples, now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Perhaps there is someone that is imagining that to be cleansed they must have a revelation above and beyond the word of God. Well, there isn't one. The word of God is the revelation of God. When God gives this sprinkling with clean water, the word enters a sinner's heart. It's enough. Some of us have known it, have we not? Just one word with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we knew we were clean. Oh, I remember a time in my early experience, my dear friend. And they overcame him through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And it came with the clean, it came as the clean water. It came as the word of God with power. my filthy soul is cleansed in the blood. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. And from all your idols. An idol is anything that comes between your soul and God. Anything that you look to for comfort, for salvation, for happiness, in preference to God. My dear friend, we are idolaters. I thought earlier today, doesn't the man of God, the church of God in the scriptures say, every man shall trust in his God, and we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. What a blessed thing. Because if you trust in the name of the Lord God, that trust in the name of the Lord God cleanses you from idols. Because you can't trust in the name of the Lord God and have an idol. No. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. It's the sprinkling of the clean water that cleanses us from our idols. In this sprinkling of the clean water, there may be many judgments of God interwoven with the sprinkling of that clean water. The judgments of God and affliction. Perhaps the person is brought, as we put it, to death's door. Or they have an affliction which, if the Lord do not heal them, it will end their life. And the Lord sprinkles clean water in laying upon them that affliction. And under it, as he further shows to them how they've lived their life, the idols that they worship, the vanity of it. Oh, my dear friend, the first part of the healing from the idol, the cleansing from the idols, is the exposing of them. The exposing of them. God says to us, where are these gods that you've chosen? These many riches, this intelligence of yours, this strength of yours, this husband of yours, this wife of yours, this family of yours, these children of yours, these grandchildren of yours, this self of yours, this house of yours, this car of yours, this business of yours, this self, I come back to it, that's the chief idol. And God lays upon us things and convinces us of the utter vanity of the idol. The utter vanity of it. It gives the sinner a trouble that no one but Christ can relieve him from. An affliction which no one but the great physician can heal him of. A blot. Oh, what an idol was Bathsheba. Till God brought David to see his sin. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Now that's the first stage of the cleansing. It's not complete yet. When the Lord leaves a sinner in a hopeless case with regard to all the idols, then as he preaches Christ to that sinner. That's the real death of the idol. Soon as faith, my Lord can see, hanging on the cross for me, quick my idols all depart, Jesus gets and fills my heart. The sinner that is convinced of having the idol, but cannot rid themselves of it, God speaks the promise, I will do it. I will do it. I will cleanse you from these idols. That person that is convinced by this clean water being sprinkled upon them that they can't do it. Because you see, you can't. Because idolatry is just one particular type of sin. Thou should have no other gods before me, says the Almighty. That's one of his laws. The Saviour, he fulfilled the whole law. The Spirit brings a sinner to worship God. Oh, the wondrous grace of the Lord to idolaters. Here is a sinner and they're convinced of what an idolater they are. They're not a worshipper of God. And they are convinced they cannot deliver themselves from that idolatry. They're convinced they cannot bring themselves to worship God. But God says, I will do it. And how does he do it? He does it in the same way as he cleanses them from all their filthiness. Oh, my dear friend, the way God takes to cleanse sinners of all their idols, to bring them to worship God. A dying, guilty, undone sinner. God says to them, I have put away thy sin. And they worship him as he manifests himself in the person of his Son. They worship him as he speaks in his life and in his death. They worship him as the Holy Spirit takes of his and shows him unto them. And puts faith in their hearts so that they worship God in the person of his Son. And therein, they are cleansed from all their idols. The blessed, proper, right, only proper, right object of worship. What object's this which meets my eye without Jerusalem's gate? My dear friend, what will all our idols be, ourself or anything else, when we come down to die? But if the blessed Spirit set Christ before us, in all his wondrous life and death, in all his wondrous sacrifice, in all his wondrous person, in all his wondrous intercession in heaven, and in all his promises and all his power and ability to save, we shan't have one idol. We shall worship Christ alone, my dear friend, and we want that in our life. We want that in our life. Oh, to be cleansed from idols. Oh, to be taken up with Christ. Oh, to be cleansed from trusting in this and that and the other. Oh, to be cleansed from being wasting our time looking at this and that and the other and listening to this and that and the other. Oh, to be cleansed from all those vain things that we spend our time doing, those vain things that fill our minds. Oh, to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit giving us faith in Christ. Oh, the love of Christ. Love not the world, says John, or God through John. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We are continually prone to idolatry. I thought how remarkable and how wonderful that dream was that that woman had. Been republished this month, The Friendly Companion, or last month. Christ and his disciples visiting that woman, sitting down to table, and a usurper comes to the door. Look at this, I've got these things to say. Oh no, I cannot. But eventually, he persuades her. And her attention is turned away. Eventually he goes. When she returns to her table, the Lord and his disciples have gone. Love not the world. Oh, how shall this wretched idolatry of ours be overcome? That woman whose case is set forth in that dream. Oh, the grief for what she'd done. What a fool I've been. Now I've lost him. He's gone. He's been offended. But oh, not lost forever. From all their filthiness and from all their idols will I cleanse them. To get down on the knees spiritually and confess it and plead for the Lord's return. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. A new heart. Completely new. New love, the love of God. New tenderness, the tenderness which is the fruit of the Saviour's sufferings. A Christ-like heart, a Christ-like spirit. If ye have not the Spirit of Christ, says Paul, ye had none of his. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. The stony heart doesn't feel a thing. Hit the stone with a hammer, it doesn't feel a thing. You cannot drive a nail into it. If you could, it wouldn't feel a thing, but all that heart of flesh. You know how it is with your flesh, if it be living. Oh, the least prick is felt by it, isn't it? You hit your finger with a hammer, oh, how it hurts. A heart of flesh. A heart that hurts for sin. That hurts for grieving the Lord. That loathes it. That feels it. But not only that, you know, my dear friend, the touch that the flesh feels. The wife that knows the touch of her loving husband. The child that knows the touch of his or her loving mother. Or a friend that feels that touch. Of that one that puts perhaps their hand on them or speaks a word into their very heart. And it feels it. Oh, what a blessing. You see, we need it. Both with regard to sin and with regard to the comfort. A stony heart can't feel either, but a heart of flesh can feel both. Because it can feel one, it can feel the other. Because it can feel the pain, it can feel the comfort. It can take impression. Beveridge says, my heart by nature is a stone. Unconcerned can look upon. Takes no impression from the word. Has no affection for the Lord, but lumpish is and dry. God says, I'll give you a completely new heart and a completely new spirit. I'll take away that stone. What does it mean? Or if we come to a close now as we must. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, poor dried up sinner here tonight. The Lord help you to plead the promise. Poor filthy sinner here tonight. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness. The wretched idolater. You keep trying to put away those idols, but you can't. God says he will do it. And you try to make your hard heart soft, but you cannot. God says he'll do it. For these things, he says, will I be inquired of, to do it for them. Real religion is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. Have you ever known anything of what I've tried to speak of tonight? Have you ever known it? What a favoured person you are. If you've never known it, your case isn't hopeless. Because God says he will do it. So he's not speaking here to those only that have had it done before. He's speaking of all those. In his mind, as he gives the promise, you say, how do I know I'm in his mind when he speaks his promise? This is how you know. Your clutch at that word. Oh, any word that comes from the Lord which suits your case, your soul by faith, clings to it and pleads it. You're not outside the promise. You're inside it. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Barker will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Hadley on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 214. Dear Lord, remember me, a sinner weak and vile, full of impiety and fraught with sin and guile. I cannot hope but in thy blood. Remember me, O Lord, for good. 214.
thank thee for thy word. And we do plead, Lord, for the fulfilment of it. We thank thee wherein any of us have known it. But oh, how we need it again and again. Oh, may some have found it even so this evening. Grant thy safekeeping. Keep thy word in our hearts. Keep us from evil. And keep us from all harm. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.